Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Odd Rod.
What's happening, dude?
Man, I tell you what, brother.
And still no Richard. Hour two and still no Richard.
I'm telling you. I'm getting a little worried about this guy.
I have to call
Richard,
him.
You're going to find yourself on the side of a milk carton if you don't come on in.
Get replaced.
That's a demerit. That's a write-up. So we're talking about car names, and we talked about how some of your favorite cars got their name.
Which is interesting.
Yes. But how about bad car names?
Wait, you mean like Malibu? I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
I will kick you in the teeth.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself on that one.
You mean like Caprice Station Wagons?
No, I think it's just Caprice, actually. Yeah. That, you know, that's an interesting one, because what the hell is a Caprice?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to Google that. You talk. I'm going to Google.
So, you know, you're talking about bad car names. I got to thinking about some of them. Like, they're sitting around, and they said, hey, Subaru's like, let's make a mini El Camino, but we're going to call it the Brat. Why would you want to own a vehicle called a Brat?
You know, that's a good point.
I mean, I can think of so many better names for it than that. So many better names than that.
Oh, absolutely. Hang on one second.
I mean, the Brat is just, I mean, wow. I mean, it don't even sound good.
No, I mean, like, hey, what kind of car would you like to buy? A Brat?
How about the Suzuki Esteem?
I think you need to esteem to greater things than.
Well, I think if self-esteem is an issue, that's not the car for you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just not a sexy. It's not a sexy vehicle, and the name just don't help it either.
I'm trying to find the name Chevy Caprice. What does it mean? I'm trying to find that because
I mean, it's like the name Hummer.
Yeah, where are we at with that?
Well, actually, it was derived from a military thing, but the name, I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? Just it could be taken too many different ways. How about the Ford Probe?
You know,
I actually read an article on that one time about the Ford Probe. And, you know, this was in the late 80s. NASA was doing all the space probes, and that's kind of where they got the idea to use that name, is trying to be all high tech.
Really?
Yes, but it just sounds like something the doctor's going to do to you.
It does, or an alien, or
yeah,
it does not sound good at all.
You do get the occasional alien.
So,
but then you got some names that are kind of controversial.
Hang on. I found the meaning behind Caprice.
Oh, Lord.
And evidently, Caprice, like GM, didn't have a meaning behind it, but it has a meaning, and this ain't good for me. First of all, if you use it as a name, it's a female gendered name. Secondly, the meaning of Caprice is impulsive change of mind. It's French or Italian, like French and Italian background. This is, I don't even know how to relate that to a vehicle.
I don't know. It's just bad.
It don't sound good. Not good at all.
Yeah. Well, pretty much most Caprices don't sound good.
Mine does.
Only because it's got a motor that's not from a Caprice in it.
Oh, I'll agree with that all day.
So,
all right,
anyway,
so
we're back to this. And some of these car names are controversial.
Like?
How about a Dodge Dart Swinger? Now, so, Free Lovin' is pushing Dodges now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think about it as a Swinger.
The old Dodge Free Lovin'.
I mean, but you know what I mean? And this was like, you know, the 70s, which I understand is a little more lax back then, but still.
Oh, well, swinging was probably in full effect back then.
How about if they'll never come out, like they've came out with a Dart, they will never make a Swinger edition new Dart.
No.
Lord, you would have them protesting in the streets.
Uh-huh.
That's hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, like the Demon, I'm shocked they came out with that.
Well, back in the 70s, you know, there was the Dodge Demon.
Yeah.
And I mean, that one's not too bad. In the 70s, they even had a little cartoon devil on the side.
No, you know what? There's nothing.
Now they make it real sadistic. Now, but back then, it was kind of.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? There's nothing wrong with Satan, but a little Free Loving? Can't have that.
How about the Chevy Citation?
It's sure you're the going Chevy, to get one if you get pulled over.
The Chevy ticket.
Yeah, the Chevy you got pulled over and got a ticket.
That's yeah, I mean, the Citation wasn't a sexy automobile anyway. But, I mean, and this is one, I mean, I was actually Googling some of this stuff. How about a Studebaker Dictator?
Mm.
That's just not a good name. Mm. Hey.
What do you drive?
Hot Rod, is that your Dictator outside?
No, that would be, yeah, it's a Dictator. Yeah.
The Ford Escort. This kind of hurts my heart a little bit. Because odds are you're going to probably have to pick one up if you drive a Ford Escort. But you know what I mean. But, I mean, you know, Escort was originally, and it's so funny the write-up they had on this. This is the funny thing about an Escort. If you're driving one of these bargain basement front-wheel drive sedans, you probably can't afford an Escort either. So... That's horrible.
In life, you only get to have one Escort, either an Escort as we know it or a Ford Escort.
Well, that also, now the original meaning of the Escort was a small ship that led big ships in. Just saying. Although, they're taking it in another way that we probably shouldn't talk about on here too much.
So what Ford is saying is they want this car to lead their pack.
Yes.
That's that.
I want to tell you something.
That's not what I would stick out front.
Keep in mind they're Ford, so not me. I'm going to be in the front. But, sorry, I had to take that shot.
That was a good one. Almost got me. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
We got another one. How about a Ford Festiva? They ain't a damn thing festive about a Festiva.
No, it's a party car.
It's something all right.
Have you ever owned one, drove one, or rode one?
I've seen one up close. That's it.
All right, so flashback circa, I don't know, 1998-ish. One of my older brothers actually had a Festiva. All right, my dad, God rest his soul, is a 6'8" man. And at the time, he was very, very, very north of 400 pounds. But I mean, when you're 6'8", you can carry that. I want to scream a salute to the Festiva. My dad could get in that car and drive it with room
comfortably.
I ain't gonna say
Was he sitting in the back seat or?
It was kind of like a Hightower moment from Police Academy. My dad actually. It was funny one day. I don't know. My mom's car was in the shop. I don't know the details. Anyhow, my parents. My mom and dad got in this car. My mom drove. I sit in the back seat of this with Steven. They took me to school. I kid you not. It's amazing. Now, keep in mind, I was in elementary school at the time. But, yeah, 13-inch wheels. Keep them clean. But, I mean, you know, they had a little three-cylinder in them.
No, they weren't a three-cylinder. They had a four-cylinder.
Okay,
a
four-cylinder, but...
It was a little one.
Yeah, they shoved the motor up front, and the rest of the car was where you sat.
Yeah.
There was no cargo room, nothing. But it was not a party in that thing, I promise you.
No parties in it. How about the Volkswagen thing? And these cars are extremely collectible now. But just that name. What do you call it? A thing.
What do you drive? That thing over there.
That thing.
Well, that was the coolest part, though, is that's how you could answer. What do you drive? That thing.
That thing.
That thing right over there.
I don't know. I like the Volkswagen things, especially some of the custom ones they've built. When them things slam down, they're bad news.
Slam down, Porsche wheels, a little bit of stance life going on. It's absolutely amazing.
Any Volkswagen slam down is amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Bus, bug, thing, Karmann Ghia.
And
boy, there's a sexy one of those at Caviar Noctane, too.
I'm a Porsche wheel fan on them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Little Porsche wheels on there.
Oh, yeah. I love the Porsche wheels on them. That makes one to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just sets it off, and I don't care. I'll look at 200 bugs, and if they all got Porsche wheels on them, I'll be happy.
Oh, yeah. Nothing beats a big headlight bug sitting on Porsche wheels.
Stanced out, even. Okay with the tilted-in rear wheels
on.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of how they rock. I mean,
how they have to lower them.
That's kind of works. Actually, they've got them now where they're not as bad.
Yeah.
They got it where you can adjust them out, but I don't know. I'm kind of old school. I like my stance life.
You know, I'm not, you know, the modern movement on stance cars is kind of crazy, but when it comes to a bug, tilt them back wheels, I don't care.
It's the original stance, right?
Yeah, tilt them back wheels, turn them up, I don't care.
I tell you what else I don't care is these commercials. They keep coming, absolutely. No matter what you think.
Absolutely.
Guys, stay tuned. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WOR.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Hot Rod!
What's happening, dude?
Man, I tell you what's happening. We're talking about car names this week.
Yeah.
And we've covered how the cars got their names. We've covered some of the worst car names.
Now, there are some bad ones.
And I got a good one that nobody has listed. The Hyundai Excel. I think that's the dumbest name ever.
That's pretty stupid.
Because you are not excelling in your career path rocking a Hyundai.
Kind of like a Tercel.
Kind of like a Tercel.
But this one's an Excel.
Excel. But now, how about the cool car names? And there's some really cool ones out there.
Like Chevy Caprice.
Not even close.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty. I think it's Spanish for loser.
Delta 88?
Even worse.
It is worse than that one. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
That's horrible. It's like a shadow time, buddy. It's just bad.
Shadow time, little buddy.
Oh, man. I tell you, if I drove a Delta 88, I would want somebody to put a pillowcase over my head. You know,
that one's not bad. And then you get any newer than that, and it goes all to hell.
I don't know.
Any newer than that, and that one, I done told you in the parking lot, that pug nose on that thing's hideous. But any newer than that, and it starts getting real bad. But, you know, and then you got your car, you got the Malibu. You know what I think about when I think about Malibu?
What's that? A beach?
Nope. A Miley Cyrus song.
Really?
I just had to.
It's horrible. Millennial.
No, I think about the rum, and I think about how drunk you have to get to even want to drive that piece of crap. No, I'm just kidding.
Whatever. Whatever. You have people protesting in the parking lot.
Well.
But, you know, sometimes the names are even cooler than the cars.
Yeah.
Like, you get like if they put as much effort in the name as they, if they put as much effort in the car as they did the name, like, the car would be phenomenal. And like some, and this is a road and track list, and you know sometimes our opinion and road and track get a little off.
Before you start naming off on this list, what is your favorite car name or car that you had as far as the name goes?
I like the Malibu SS thing. I think it's a little different. It does good in hashtags, you know. I think in 1964 when it came out with it, that really wasn't the whole idea behind it, but I get a lot of California people liking my stuff all of a sudden.
For some reason.
It's crazy. I don't get it. But I don't know. Just I like the SS tag behind anything, but I think the car, just the SS, was a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, I think it was an awesome car.
It was an okay car. But
you should have called it a Malibu SS, because that's basically what it was.
Yeah.
My favorite named car, I like long named cars. So the Oldsmobile Delta 88 Indy Pace car is pretty cool. But my favorite was my 1982 Datsun 280 ZX Turbo by Nissan. Yeah. That was my favorite just because, like, good Lord.
Goodness gracious. So, cool car names.
Cool car names.
The Aston Martin Vanquish.
Absolutely.
Or the Aston Martin Vanquish. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
That's, like, I hold a pinky up when I say that.
Yeah, like... You're sipping fine wine when you're talking about Vanquish.
The Dodge Demon.
Duh.
That was a cool name on the old Demons. It's just cool now.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sinister. I mean, it delivers a message, and so does the new Demon.
This one right here is one me and you would probably have named. The Ferrari 812 Superfast. what do we call it? We call it super fast.
What are we going to call that car? I mean, man, it's quick. I mean, it's stylish.
It's super fast.
Yeah, it's super fast. How about the Superfast?
I mean, it works, you know. I mean, of course, the Ford Mustang. That name fits that car. I couldn't imagine the Mustang being called anything other than a Mustang.
Grown up Pinto?
No, because it was out before the Pinto, so it's the Pinto's daddy.
You know, going back to the Superfast. What did you drive? Not a Superfast car over there.
The AMC Javelin. See, this is one where the name is cool, but the car, not so much.
You can probably throw a Javelin farther than the actual car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't
know. Or quicker.
I don't know. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, this car's in the running with the Mustang and the Camaro, so it's definitely a cool name, aggressive name.
You know what? I'm not even really big on
it. But it's not a sexy car.
I'm not even really big on the name of Javelin.
Well, it's different.
It is that?
Yeah, it's definitely different. This is a very fitting one, the Buick Roadmaster.
Oh, absolutely. Because
That's a hot name, especially for the big Buick.
Yeah, I was about to say, the heavier it got, it should be the Buick Road Masher.
Exactly. Or the King of the Road.
Yeah. But yeah, that Roadmaster name, and that's also a name that's pretty significant when it comes to luxury and class.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, even into...
I see why you drive Caprices now.
Exactly. You get it. Well, I was getting on that point. You know, 96 was the last year for both those cars, actually. And if you look, especially the wagon, because they're so similar, the Caprice set next to the Roadmaster has so many more amenities to it and is a way nicer car. And Roadmaster has always been that way since back in the 30s.
Well, yeah, they're nice. They're gorgeous cars.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Actually, the first Roadmaster came out in the 40s, by the way.
Wait, yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. My bad. Sorry. But yeah.
Sorry. Chevrolet Corvette. That's a good... There again, I don't know no different. I don't think... I can't imagine it being called anything.
No,
else.
I mean, it is the Corvette.
I mean, it's the Corvette. I mean, the Dodge Magnum. And they called a station wagon the Magnum.
You know what?
And that was a cool name, and it was a good-looking car.
That car is a... And I'm not a Dodge guy. That car is just an awesome car all the way around.
Now, Magnum, I think about Dirty Harry.
Yeah, know, like I mean, like, you Magnum pull out this big old Magnum out of the side of your pocket, you know, this 44 Magnum.
No, you pick up the kids with this.
Yeah.
Or haul a cello in it.
Or prevent having kids with it.
Yeah. I promise you, if you drive one, it shouldn't be that big a problem.
I think that's what they were getting at.
Yeah, probably. Here's another one, the Dodge Rampage.
And that's a cool name.
But you come
roll
out
up and what you
a front wheel drive pickup truck.
Yeah, cool name. Cool name. I think you go on a rampage when you find out what you just bought, though.
Yeah, really.
A Volkswagen Rapid.
Although it's got add more towing capacity than a lot of small pickup trucks.
Oh, it's got more towing capacity than the new Honda Ridgeline.
Yeah,
pickup
which
truck.
Is even crazier. It's a manlier truck. The Dodge Viper.
Very cool name.
Very
cool name. And very good marketing behind it.
I tell you, another
very good
really
logo.
Good one. And this car's getting such a bad rap. The Mitsubishi Eclipse was cool, but nothing on the Eagle Talon.
Agreed.
That was a cool name right there.
Great name.
Eagle Talon.
Ready to strike, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that was a cool. And I really wasn't big on the whole Eagle brand of cars, but the Talon was cool.
The Talon is awesome.
That was definitely a killer name on it. I tell you what else kills me. These commercial breaks, man. We get to talking. Next thing you know, you got to stop again.
Every time, man.
I'm telling you, killing me. Guys, we got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming up.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Odd Rod.
What's happening, dude?
Now, you said you've got a curveball you're going to throw at me.
I do. This is totally unrelated to anything we've been talking about in the show, but I read an article. And it's about a month old now. But
you read? That is crazy.
Yeah, it is. I told you.
That's shocking.
I told you I was throwing you a curveball. So I read an article, and this is actually by Bloomberg, so it's a pretty reliable source, and that's what threw me off to begin with. Ford's not financially doing that well. Go figure. Having the best-selling truck for years running, and J.D. Power this and that, you would think they're doing all right. Ford's not doing that well, though, and they have plans to cut...
Well, Chevrolet's the J.D. Power guy.
Yeah, that's true. By 2022, they're wanting to cut back and save $25.5 billion. Now, it's interesting how they plan to do this, and just point-blank, I'll get right down to it. Ford said they will not invest in any new generations of sedans for the North American market, eventually reducing its car lineup to the Mustang and the all-new Focus Active crossover coming out next year. By 2020, almost 90% of its portfolio in the region will be pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles only.
I've actually heard this.
So what that is saying is pretty much...
Well, they're sticking to what sells.
You're going to be able to buy a commercial vehicle from Ford, you're going to be able to buy a Mustang from Ford, and a Focus from Ford, and they have gone on further...
And Sport Utilities. Now, they're still making Sport
Utilities.
Yeah, the
SUVs.
So they're
selling
only car, what sells.
The only cars available will be the Focus and the Mustang.
Right. Which, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Which pulls them out of the police game, because that ends your Taurus. But they will still
have... Either that or they'll come out with an Explorer.
Well, they have the Explorer, and I think the Explorer will stay in the lineup, seeing, you know, being it is...
A police package Explorer or something like that.
But very interestingly enough, a Ford...
In which Dodge has really clipped their wings with the Charger.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And, well, the Ford clipped their own wings by getting rid of the Crown Vic, because there was no other police car for years. Crown Vics ran the street, and then they said, hey, our best-selling car ever, let's get rid of it. Well, Mustang's going to be close, but...
I wouldn't say best-selling. I said popular with the commercial crowd, with the police, fire departments, things of that nature.
Yeah. Ford, Ford actually, they made a statement. I'm trying to think of who the guy's name is. The is their spokesperson. But anyhow, his name is Mr. Shanks. He said that everything is actually on the table to fix Ford. And that's a direct quote. He said that we can make different investments. We can partner. We can exit production, exit markets. And he said, and we will be doing that. So they're even in the radical idea to save Ford as a company to look into producing other things other than cars, and also even getting out of the car game in general. And that's a reality that they are looking at. I'm not saying that's happening, but it seems that it's definitely going to happen, that they are going to reduce their lineup in a very, very major way.
Well, I mean, they're not... It sounds far-fetched when you say it like that, but they're steering... Look at General Motors. They're steering the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting away from... Compact cars are always going to sell.
Well,
because economy.
All right, so
SUVs are hot because everybody wants families.
Right,
you know, the family stuff.
And
a nobody
truck.
Wants a van, and then you have trucks. So basically, I mean, and other than, and I mean, look at Dodge. They have the Challenger, the Charger, and then it's SUVs and trucks.
Yeah, I mean, Dodge
so
has done it.
It's really no different from anybody else.
You know, well, they have the Dart, and
which is their compact.
Yeah, and. Heck, I think that's it, isn't it? Really? I don't know what... Well, no, they still got the Avenger and the Caliber and all that, don't they?
No, I don't think they make those anymore.
I don't even know what's in the Dodge lineup. I don't think there's a minivan anymore.
No, well, it's the... it's kind of like the crossover thing.
Yeah, it's crossover. It's SUV now.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, think, you know, look at... I mean, who wants a four-door sedan anymore, and how many options do we really need for one?
Well, you got to think about the demographic that bought these cars. Those guys are dying off.
Yeah. No one buys a four-door sedan anymore.
Everybody's grandma, you know. It was like a Cadillacs. Same idea. Now they're sporty little subcompacts or SUVs.
Yeah. The market's just totally shifting. And look at, you know, Ford even...
Look at Buick.
Yeah, absolutely. A prime example.
Exactly.
Prime, because a Buick is a standalone company. That's a prime example. Well, it's under the umbrella of General Motors. But
yeah, it's not a standalone company by any stretch.
But, you know, it's not... an affiliate to Chevy, if you will. I mean, I'm loosely saying that. It's kind of like saying Ram is not part of Dodge. Well, yeah it kind of is.
No, Ram is Dodge.
Yeah.
and Buick is General Motors.
It
just
is.
Like Chevrolet is General Motors.
But they are their separate entities, and they do stand on their own 2 feet. But, yeah, I mean, they're a prime example of that. And I don't know, man. I think the whole market of what people are buying, what people are wanting, is totally changing. And Ford's been, you know, well, all automakers for a long time has had like 30 cars in their lineup. And now you just, well, we got maybe 10 in most of them now. And,
well,
and some of them less than that. And I think it's just, how many production lines do you need running at once?
Well, I mean, do you really need that many different, I mean, you know,
there's a thing.
The demographics change, and basically they're sticking to what sells.
There's a thing I learned, because I have a screen printing background. We're printing T-shirts and doing that. And there's a thing I learned a long time ago is you don't give too many options. And what I'm saying is if you look at a T-shirt color catalog when you're having shirts printed, there's hundreds of different shirts colors, literally hundreds. Well, you never give the customer that many options because they'll never decide and end up not even ordering. And you guide them along. You give them suggestions of, hey, this is what sells well. This is what people like. This is what does well. Give them five colors, and they'll pick one pretty quickly. And I think automakers are seeing that. You go to a car lot, and there's 30 different, you know, models sitting out there. You won't know what to pick.
Very true.
And so if you narrow it down and kind of, you know, be a shepherd and lead the flock a little bit, if you will, you kind of like, hey, you either need a truck or you need an SUV or you need a compact car or are you having a midlife crisis and need a sports car? That's what you need in life.
Well, and another thing too, now keep in mind, is these crossovers and SUVs and things like that, they're offering more of those than they ever did before. You got to think about it. They had four-door sedans and all these cars and less SUVs. Now they have less four-door cars and more selections of SUVs and crossovers and things of that nature.
Well, the human needs, I think, have even shifted, too. I mean, sports has become bigger than it's ever been. There's so many travel ball leagues. There's so many, you know, after-school things, school leagues, you know, church leagues and all this. So you need somewhere to carry your stuff, but you also need an SUV or a bigger car because you got this family. Well, you know, some cars, you know, golf clubs and a baseball bat won't fit in the trunk that well, but they'll fit in the back of your SUV very well,
right?
And you can still seat nine. So I mean, I think our needs, as you know, as consumers, has totally changed, and now automakers are, Dodge seen it, you know, Buick seen it, Chevy started to see it, and I think this is just Ford's catching on.
In Ford, I mean, like I said, this has been coming gradually along, you know what I mean? And that's the thing with, I mean, they're not going to build something that doesn't sell well.
Exactly.
And I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. I mean, if you're, you know, I don't know what expected sales on a yearly model is, but.
But there's so much more to it, too, than just the selling of the car. You got to think about it. Every time they produce a car, they have to produce parts for that car for 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's just more stock. They have more inventory, more parts catalogs. There's so much more involved.
And it's bad enough when not only do you have to do that, but you're shifting model types in that. So you're going to new body styles. Now you have that many more parts you're having to hold on the shelf.
Exactly.
And pretty soon your shelves are going to run out. And you know, places to store all these parts and do all this, it's going to run out.
Well, another thing, too, also, the more cars you got, the bigger the dealerships have to be.
Yeah.
It's just a chain reaction.
You know, and okay, look at what it takes to actually build a car. And thankfully, we're sitting here in the upstate, and we get to kind of see this firsthand with BMW in our backyard. But, you know, you got probably 10 companies, if not even more, that support BMW around here.
That supply parts, exactly.
That supply parts. And
well, you have way more companies than that.
Yeah, that's what I can collectively think of in my mind.
Yeah, that's just right here in the immediate area.
Yeah, in the upstate area, if you will. And yeah, you're right. There's plenty more because the engines don't even come from the upstate.
Well, so, and that's another thing too. I mean, that's more labor. It's more. I mean, there's so many things it involves, and they're trimming the fat, and really don't blame them a bit. I think it's a smart move. I really do.
I think in terms of saving the company and everything like that, yeah, I think they're dead on. Yeah.
I think they're dead on, and I'll be honest with you, I think that new Bronco is going to be a game changer in the SUV market.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's a game changer. This commercial break.
They get us every time, guys. Stay tuned. We've got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WOR.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Hot Rod!
What's happening, dude?
You know, 4th of July... was this week.
It was.
And I'm feeling patriotic. And I don't want to tell you something.
This is going downhill.
We need to have a Craigslist challenge for the most America car. Patriotic. Red, white, and blue.
I know you got a C4 vet. There's
you
no,
don't know that.
There's no way.
$5,000 limit.
There's no way.
And it has to run and drive.
Well, I got you.
What'd you find?
You go first.
No, you go first. It's your turn. That's the rule.
It's always my turn to go first. Come on.
Exactly.
All right. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I swapped to the blue oval for this one.
Oh, Lord.
How about a 2003? Got any guesses?
Crown Vic.
Mercury Marauder.
Really?
Really. Sitting in Shelby, North Carolina for $4,800, and she's clean, baby.
It looks like a nice one.
Under the hood's clean. The car is very, very nice.
Yours is cleaner than mine.
A little high on the mileage, 178,000.
That's this first. Pretty high.
Still doable.
For a 4K,
yeah,
but still.
For a 4.6, yeah, that's a little high, but you got good bones. And you got some mileage. If it's been any but took care of, which it looks like it has. You got some meat on the bones there. and cold AC, which,
you know, the Marauders are really cool cars, and they kind of got, they didn't get the respect they deserved.
The Impala was lingering and still new, and it overshadowed them
a little bit, even though the Impala was out in 96 and these came out after.
Here's the problem with that. The Impala was very new at the time, and it did. It overshadowed it. However, and Lord forgive me, the Marauder is a better and faster car.
It is a better and faster car. And Marauder is a good-looking car. You know, of course, it had the odometer gauges in the dash, and it was a four-cam engine in it. I love the black leather embossed seats in it. I mean, they were
the
good-looking
embossed back
car.
Bumper.
Yeah, they're just a cool car in general.
Pretty America.
Yeah, that is pretty America. I mean, and the Marauder, and it's a four-door, rear-wheel drive sedan. I mean, it's America.
Yeah, it's pretty America.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's kind of like Grandma's car with attitude.
It's
almost like the Grand National and a Buick Regal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Grand Marquis and the Marauder.
Exactly. I mean, it's a pretty nasty
car. And
it got
a cool throwback with the name, too, with the Mercury Marauder.
Exactly. And I don't know. I think it's a pretty America car. I mean, it's probably not the standard person's go-to, but it's one of Ford's last big-bodied muscle cars, too. And it competed with the Impala SS, which was GM's last one.
Yeah, well, really, I'll be honest with you, they didn't have a whole lot of competition when they came out with that car, because, like I said, the Impalas went out in 96. These cars came out in 03.
Yeah, that's the first-year Marauder there. So, and you're right. I mean, they said, you know what, let's just do it better. Exactly. And then they did.
In a lot of ways, they did. I mean, it's a sharp car. It really is. I mean, it just shows you that you can make anything cool with
the
black
styling.
Paint.
The styling is
monochrome
even...
monochrome makes anything cool.
Exactly. The styling is even up to par with the Impala SS.
I think it's a little more stylish than the Impala SS. The black on black.
I really hate admitting that, but... The wheels on it were nice. The wheels on it were great. You know, the little touches, which they did it with the Impala, but, you know, the Impala SS had the black script, you know, that was raised on the quarters. It was a stuck-on emblem. Ford said, you know what? Let's emboss it in the bumper.
Well, they actually made a special bumper for this car.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, little...
dual exhaust out the back. I mean, it was a sharp car.
Little details like that they put into that car just really, really made it, and I think it's a nice piece of America.
It is America.
Yeah. So...
you ready?
Let's hear about this C4 vet.
All the way.
Here we go.
In Seneca, South Carolina.
It's probably yours already.
Is a 1990 Patriot Blue.
I couldn't have worked out any better.
C4 Corvette, but it gets better. TPI automatic Corvette.
Right.
But it has red leather seats in it.
Please, God.
And it's only $4,000. So I can take that extra grand and put white racing stripes on it. And I'll be honest with you. If it was any more America...
I think you just trumped my America on that one.
If this car was any more America, Captain America would be driving it.
I think he already is.
I think Captain America was the previous owner.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I know they put those red seats in it because probably the blue ones were just ragged out
Do you have a picture of this?
I got it pulled up here on my phone. But I seen this car, and I seen those seats, and I'm like...
we're here for right here. This is what we live our life
to. The Star Spangled Banner started playing. Eagles started flying.
Eagles started playing.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, Ronnie Van Zant was just like jamming out.
I'm pretty sure there's a hot apple pie in the glove box of that thing.
I'm pretty sure it's got an apple pie dispenser in that bad boy. Pine tree air freshener hanging in it, but you know what I mean.
I'm not going to lie. It's pretty America.
And it's America's sports car. I mean, it's checking all these boxes.
Is there a leather jacket by chance in the back with fringe?
I don't know if there's one with fringe, but I bet you there's a red, white, and blue one somewhere. that's America.
That's pretty America. That
thing right there. Yeah.
I think you just wanted to scream America. I was like being subtle about it. I was like, hey, this is America.
Right here is like, no question.
Yeah, like, hey, there it is, America.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, people salute you when you drive by in this bad boy.
So why the C4 Vet again?
Well, quite honestly, Odd Rod, it's the perfect car. And you can't argue that. There's no question the C4 Corvette can't do anything. It can do everything in the world.
Haul a 4x8 sheet of plywood.
One skill saw, it can haul two 4x8 sheets of plywood.
Yeah, but then it's not 4x8 anymore.
It was. If you put it back together, it is.
I don't think that's the point, though.
No, you just said haul a 4x8 sheet of plywood. I solved the problem. Don't quit trying to trump it, okay?
I have to flash back to the Roadmaster wagon being the perfect car.
No.
And I say Roadmaster because it's a space better than the Caprice. I think it's just a perfect car.
You have a sex appeal.
Rutledge Wood agrees with me.
You see what he's hitting on here lately?
He's got some cool stuff.
Ish.
I'm just saying.
Like, I quit following Rutledge Wood on Instagram because it was depressing. You know, like, my Instagram posts look better than his, so I quit following him.
Sorry, Rutledge. I still like you. Still follow you.
He's posting pictures of a wrapped Toyota truck.
Yeah.
Facepalm.
Happen to know the guy's a wrap. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the wrap's fine. You know.
But, you know, we saw that truck at, you know, I'm going to get off topic a little bit because who cares. We saw that truck at SEMA 2016 when it was done in a lemon sting, the yellow color. And, you know, I've been wrapping cars for years. I walked right past that truck, looked at it, appreciated it, and just passed it off as he had it painted. Didn't even think about it. I knew the color. But BMW has a color that's very, very close. So I'm like, well, you know, they painted that BMW color. It's bad. You know, it's awesome. Love it.
Nope. It's a sticker.
Then I seen the multicolors the truck actually is when they pulled the wrap off. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean.
You stumped the wrap guy.
But the C4 Vette is the perfect car. And I'll be honest with you, if anybody has any dispute with that, shoot us an email on the Facebook page.
Yeah, what is the perfect car?
Shoot us a message. It is. I mean, and if you think the C4 Corvette's the perfect car, comment and tell us about it.
Absolutely.
I think that I really do. And I don't think I'm the only one that thinks the C4 Vette's the perfect car because, obviously, they sold well.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They did a great job except for the 83. But
yeah, that one wasn't a real fast mover.
That one was kind of a flop. But no, they are a great car. And I think,
see, you're coming around.
I think you won the America thing. I think you won the America Craigslist challenge for this one. I'm not going to lie.
I think we should just start a game. How many times Rob can win the Craigslist challenge with a C4 Corvette at everything?
This one I'll have to hand it to you, but not so much. Guys, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a great 4th of July, and I hope you're back around next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for playing along. You've been listening to Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.